Okay. Phil's already told you my subject for this evening, but I think even if he hadn't mentioned it, we couldn't fail to have missed, I don't think, in that passage of Scripture that Paul's got boasting on his mind. On a quick count through there, I can't swear this is absolutely precise, but I think he mentions 16 times either the word boast or boasting. It's something at this time he's obviously got on his mind and in his heart, boasting. According to the online dictionary I looked at, boasting is an excessively proud statement or overemphasizing of possessions or achievements. An excessively proud statement or overemphasizing of our possessions or achievements. That's what boasting is to the natural mind, and I think we'd all agree that probably by and large it's not a very attractive trait. And it, as the dictionary says, is normally a result of pride either in our possessions, in our achievements, or what we are, or maybe even the possessions, achievements, or things of others we're closely associated with, maybe our children, or brothers, or sisters, or uncles, cousins, or even close friends. Sometimes we like to boast in the achievements of those we're close to. We can be proud of what we are, what we have, what we've done, and as I say, if not of ourselves, then of those closely associated with us. These are the natural things that we're proud of, and when pride becomes excessive, often leads to boasting. We can easily come to boasting about these things if we're too proud of them. It's good we like to know about the achievements and things of our friends and relations and how they're doing in life. There's nothing wrong with sharing with each other these things, but when it becomes excessive, that's when it's boasting. And as I say, we'd all agree, I think, that's not a very endearing thing. Now, most of us here, we're probably not outwardly boasters, I shouldn't think. But maybe, you know, maybe it's possible to boast inside yourself. I don't know. But sometimes I think we can maybe even boast to ourselves without actually putting it into words. We can be overproud, perhaps, of certain things. And it's not good. But to a degree, it does come naturally. And the secular world actually encourages it, I think, doesn't it? It encourages us to be proud of our achievements. We love to recognize achievement. We've just gone through the great summer last year of the Olympics, and time after time we saw the winning athletes raised up on their podium, didn't we, above the silver medalist and the bronze medalist a bit lower down, but the winner at the top raised up to be lauded and applauded, quite rightly probably, for their achievements. But society encourages us to be proud of our achievements. And it seems that almost every week, I think, when I turn on the TV, the entertainment industry, there seems to be some kind of award ceremony. We have the Brits, don't we, and the Golden Globes and the Grammys and all these kind of things, and followed by the great speeches. We have the honours list, people being quite rightly often recognised for things they've done for their country. And mostly, you know, these people, they accept their honours and their medals quite graciously, and they make an attempt to give some credit to other people in some of these grand speeches. But we don't know what they're feeling inside. Are they proud? Are they boastful? I don't know. But generally the world admires it. It admires self-made men and women. It admires achievers. It admires them. Society's proud of them, encourages them to be proud of themselves too. But an excessive amount of pride can lead on to boasting. They're two closely linked things, pride and boasting. I think it's true to say probably there's no boasting without pride. But it is the way of the world. We're encouraged to be proud. But never ceases to amaze me, I don't know about you, that left to ourselves to go on in our own natural way, how we always go in the total opposite way to God. God's ways are the total opposite ways to the ways of natural man, aren't they? And the ways that we would go left to ourselves. It never ceases to amaze me, that. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 5 tells us that the Lord detests the proud of heart. He detests them. Paul in Romans chapter 12, verse 16 says, "Do not be proud. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position." And in his first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 13, he links pride and boasting together. He says, "Love is not proud and does not boast." And Peter, he joins in as well in his first letter, Peter, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5. He said, God opposes the proud. He opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. So we can be sure from God's word that he doesn't like pride. Excessive pride leads to boasting. God doesn't like pride. And Paul tells us again in Romans chapter 1, verses 28 to 30. He tells us that boasting is the product of a depraved mind. He says this, furthermore, since they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, he gave them over to a depraved mind to do what ought not to be done. They have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. Paul puts it in a list of pretty awful things there. So we can be sure God doesn't like the boastful. People, we're thinking here about people who are boasting in their own abilities, their own achievements, their own possessions, or of those close to them who they're associated with. But it's not just restricted to individuals either, is it? Organizations can be boastful. Governments occasionally can be boastful. They like to boast about their achievements when they have any. Mainly at election time, they would point to what they would say were their great achievements, or sometimes they use what they believe to be an achievement to point people away from their failures. Governments boast. Nations boast. We see glimpses. They boast in their military might. See glimpses sometimes on the news, don't we, of the North Korean soldiers marching and their great hardware going by, and we used to see it with the Russians as well. Nations can be very proud of their military strengths or of their wealth. And so individuals can be proud. Nations can be proud. It's a natural thing. Pride and boasting seems to come naturally to the world. But what about spiritual men and women? What about Christians? What about followers of Jesus Christ? We're not immune to it, are we? We can have spiritual pride. We can boast about our spiritual abilities or what we're achieving for God. And here we've read in this chapter here that Paul tells the Corinthians, if anybody wants to boast about their spiritual achievements, he's got more to boast about than anybody. Chapter 11, verse 22, he says this, what anyone else dares to boast about, I'm speaking as a fool, I also dare to boast about. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they Abraham's descendants? So am I. And he goes on to list what he's gone through for God and point out that if anybody has any spiritual pride or anything they think they can boast about, he even more so. And he also said it to the Philippians. Turn over to Philippians chapter 3. He says this in chapter 3, verse 4. If anyone else thinks he has reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee, as for zeal, persecuting the church, as for legalistic righteousness, faultless. Paul says, if anybody else thinks they have anything to boast about in their life and service for God, I have even more. If anybody has grounds for spiritual pride, it's Paul, isn't it? But I want us to look at what he says in chapter 11. He says it in two places, chapter 11, several places actually. Chapter 11, verse 30, first, Paul spoke at the beginning of the service about looking for surprising things in Scripture, surprising things. And certainly to the world, this would be a surprising thing to say, wouldn't it? 2 Corinthians 11, verse 30. If I must boast, I will boast of the things that show my weakness. There's a thing to say. And in chapter 12, verse 9, therefore I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses. And a bit further down, I delight in weakness. And back up in verse 5 as well, I will not boast about myself except about my weaknesses. Now, to the natural man, that's a surprising thing, isn't it? That's quite a statement. The world will say, keep quiet about your weaknesses, concentrate on your strengths. Some of you know when I was a younger man, I used to like to play cricket. I used to love to play cricket. And when I was a teenager, I was fortunate enough to be coached. We had a man come to our village who was a qualified cricket coach, and he started coaching the youngsters of the team. And one of the things he taught me, which was very useful in its field, was do the things you're good at. Cut out the things you can't do very well. Just concentrate on what you do well. And in the natural life, that was very good advice, actually, especially when it comes to batting. If any of you know cricket, cut out the shots. They always tell you, the shots you can't play, just play the ones that you can do. But so the world's way is cover over your weaknesses, concentrate on your strengths. But Paul says here, I'm going to boast about my weaknesses. But why? Why is it? Well, he tells us in chapter 12, verse 9. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. So that Christ's power may rest on me. We have to recognize our own weakness so that Christ's power can work in us and through us. Paul came to realize, as he says at the end of our reading, he came to realize that when he was weak, then he was strong. And Paul, he had a particular weakness, didn't he? He had that particular weakness, which he described as his thorn in the flesh, which nobody knows what it was, but it was quite a thing. He described it as a messenger of Satan, a messenger of Satan. And he pleaded with God to have it removed. Isn't it an amazing thing that we're talking about boasting in our weaknesses, that Paul had this problem, which nobody is absolutely sure what it was, but it was quite a problem to him, evidently. And I just find it amazing. If I had a problem that big, I think everybody would know what it was. But Paul, he doesn't tell us what it is. He tells us enough, but he doesn't go on about it. He just tells us enough. He had that problem. And while we're talking about that problem, I just found that to be a tremendous lesson in prayer. I'd never really thought about it before. This is a little aside, really. We have the great Apostle Paul. He's here. He's pleading with God. Thank you. We're back on. Yeah, we have the great Apostle Paul pleading with God to have this this problem taken away. The great Apostle, he's praying for something which we know, because we have the full story here, turns out to be not in God's will. And I don't know if it's just me, maybe, but do you ever find yourself hampered in prayer when you're not absolutely sure of God's will in something? I find it often, I think, in the area of praying for healing. You know, we're not too bold. We tend to temper it with, if it be your will, Lord. And we tend to hedge our bets a little bit and soften our prayers. But we have the Apostle Paul here. He's pleading with God. There's no mention of that here. He's saying, Lord, I want this taken away. He's going for it, isn't he, in prayer? He's really going for it. As it turns out, it wasn't God's will. But there's no mention of Paul. Until he knew it wasn't God's will, he prayed with all his heart. And I think that's a great lesson for us. Until we know any better in prayer, that we need to positive prayers to really plead with God for what seems good and right to us until God tells us any different. I mean, we have to be open and willing to accept his will in the matter. But until we know his will, it seems to be right to pray wholeheartedly for what seems right to us. Paul wanted rid of it, and he didn't hold back in the asking. You know, sometimes God has different plans for us, and when he does, they're always better plans. But sometimes he does give us exactly what we pray for, doesn't he? And I love that little bit in the first book of Chronicles. We've got that first book of Chronicles, which is basically just a list of all the nation, you know, the tribes of Israel, list after list of names and families and tribes. And then it breaks off in chapter 4, verse 10, with this little story of a man called Jabez. And in the middle of it all, it says, Jabez prayed, oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. And the Lord granted his request. Isn't that great? Sometimes God has different plans, but sometimes he grants our requests. Let's pray positive prayers. But he did have different plans here for Paul. And we all know the outcome of that. But there's no hint of Paul being disappointed. Paul gladly embraces God's answer. It was totally not what he was asking for, but he gladly embraced it, didn't he? With that, he took those words on board. My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. And Paul grasped it, and he took it wholeheartedly. Why? Why was Paul's request refused? Well, it's probably so that he wouldn't think more highly of himself than he should. He was a very successful minister. It was probably, perhaps, so that those seeing the results of his ministry wouldn't think more highly of Paul than they should. They wouldn't think that his success was a result of his own strengths and abilities. And Paul himself, he really came to understand that real strength lay in his weakness. He said, when I am weak, then I am strong. So we need to recognize our weaknesses. We need to be aware of them. We need to know them. But it's no good just recognizing your weaknesses and being weak, is it? It's no good just recognizing them. It must be to lead us to relying on Christ's strength, taking on Christ's strength. You know, we can go on boasting about weaknesses, and people who go on about their problems. We all need to know about each other's problems, weaknesses, illnesses, whatever they may be. We need to know enough so that we can assist practically and pray for people. But sometimes when people go on and on about things, it can become almost self-defeating, can't it? It's almost as bad as boasting in some ways. But when Paul says he's boasting in weakness, there's a reason for it. What's it all about, this boasting in weakness? Well, it seems to me, you know, the man who came to my mind, really, it seems to be about the John the Baptist mentality. We have that great character John, don't we, in the Gospels, who was the herald of Christ. And he must have been quite a celebrity in his day, John. He was quite a character, wasn't he? He was dressed strangely, spoke strangely. But he had a successful ministry. Crowds came to him. They came from Jerusalem, Judea, the whole region of the Jordan. You know, he was in his own way a successful ministry. He had a successful ministry, and he was quite a character. He could easily have become proud, John the Baptist, of his own success, didn't he? But how did he think of himself? Well, those famous statements of John, speaking of Christ, he said, I'm not worthy to do up his sandals. That's how he compared himself to Christ. And more to the point, the great statement of John, he must become greater, I must become less. This is the aim of boasting in our weaknesses, isn't it? We don't want to promote our weaknesses just for the sake of it. People, as I say, who constantly talk about their weaknesses can be very off-putting. But our aim is to recognize our weaknesses so that anything praiseworthy in our lives, we give the glory to Christ. That should be our total aim, isn't it? Give the glory to Christ. First of all, we need it as an inward attitude. It's the same as everything, isn't it? Everything starts inside us. Give the glory to Christ in our hearts. And then we will give the glory to Christ in our lives. We need to think not more highly of ourselves than we should. Recognize our weaknesses. Anything we can achieve for Christ is for Christ. It's to bring glory to his name. John the Baptist said, he must increase, I must become less. Paul says, I will gladly boast about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. When I am weak, then I am strong. So let's boast in weakness, but only to point people from ourselves and to point them to Christ. That is the reason for boasting in our weakness. We're going to sing a song in a moment, which is really about worship. But there's a line in it which applies to what we're saying. It says, it's all about you, Jesus. And that really sums up the whole Christian life, isn't it? It's not about us. It's not about us. The whole object of our lives and our weaknesses and our strengths and everything else is to point to Jesus. It's all about you, Jesus.